We've all probably been in the situation, or at least I've been in the situation many times when you're meeting, probably a good example would be a friend of a friend. And in the greeting process, they say, "Oh, I've heard so much about you." Shake your hand. And my go-to response is always, "Only good things I hear." I'm sure that you've heard, you know. So over the years, I've kind of learned to laugh quickly and move the conversation right along, because chances are, not everything that they've heard about you is as good as you would think. It's a lighthearted way to break the ice, but it's a subtle reminder to us that others may not think of us what we think of ourselves. My mother, on a phone conversation the other day, we were talking about a social interaction that she was having. Dealing with, and the details of the interaction, it just became plain to her that individuals she was interacting with thought that she was intentionally doing things that she would never intentionally do. And as she was describing what was going on, she made the statement that stood out to me. She said that she has been asking herself every day, am I who I think I am? So let's dissect that a little bit, and we can start in Proverbs chapter 6, and verse 16 through 19. Verse 16 starts out as, "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren." This passage we can file along with many others, such as the commandments, the Beatitudes, the gospel of love, and God's plan of salvation. These are rules for us to live by, things you should do on one hand, and things you should not do on the other. But it's deeper than just a list of do's and do nots. God asked for us specifically to purify our hearts. Why do we need to purify our hearts? We can look in Psalms chapter 24 and verse 3 through verse 4. In verse 3 it says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully." So another question we could ask, well, what does it mean to be pure in heart? The Hebrew word for heart and mind are one and the same. The word levav in Hebrew means the organ, but it also describes the center of a person's thought, character, and their being. The pure in heart are those who have washed their thoughts. It's those who have washed their character of the things that God hates, that list that we just went through. The pure in heart are those who prioritize the inner workings of their lives. To be pure in heart is to strive to be pleasing in God's sight down to your very core, not just in the eyes of our fellow man, not just in the eyes of those that we want to impress, not just when we think the situation calls for maybe a double dose of overt piety. We are commanded to be doers, that's for certain. But these outward acts of piety are not to be just a facade, but a reflection of our inward reality. So then you could ask another question. What if our righteous acts are not a reflection of our inward reality? James 1, verse 22 through 27, it's the next passage, reading starting from verse 22. "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep yourself unspotted from the world. You and I don't have the right. We don't have the knowledge, the understanding. We don't have the power to actually define God. What we do have the power to do is define how our God is perceived by those observing us as representatives of the God that we claim to serve. This power to define is not so much a badge of honor to be worn on our chest for all to see, as much as it is a staggering and humbling responsibility. What kind of God would our God be if all we had to do was go through the rituals and he would be happy with us? That would be a God of hypocrites, petty and shallow. That is not all that our God requires of us. Matthew 5 and verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." If you and I wish to stand in God's presence, we must not only do the hard work of controlling our actions and doing as God asks us to do, but we must also do the heart work. To conclude, I hope I have done a sufficient job in this message of relaying the importance of striving for purity of heart. In the conflict that my mother was dealing with, she was being treated as if she was doing something that God hates. My mother felt she was being falsely accused, but she recognized that she cannot control anyone's thoughts or actions except her own. So she sought to keep her heart pure by asking herself the question every day, "Am I who I think I am?" And while it may be easy for us to hear someone else's story, shrug our shoulders and move on to the next thing, we must all not forget that at any moment, every moment, Satan himself is our accuser before God. And this story of my mother is also a story of you and I. Except Satan's accusations are not limited to just our outward actions, but also our heart. So it behooves us all to ask ourselves often, with introspection and humility, "Am I who I think I am?"